Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I think I like this better, being able to start the day with you than end the day with you. I'm glad you stopped by. This is Renee at Renee's Heart to Heart. And today is very special because today, of course, is my first day on morning radio. And although I've been doing this for several months now, I kind of decided that I think I feel better about starting the day with you so that we can, even though we talk about a lot of the atrocious things that are going on in our world, I thought maybe it would be nicer if somehow early in the morning we started the day on a positive note. I will continue to share with you, but we'll end the show with something that is positive and send you out there to meet the world with a smile and do the very best you can every day. I spent the weekend and the end of last week with a very close friend who worked with me for a very long time at Hippocrates Health Institute. And of course, we all, many of us who are no longer at the Institute, we loved what we did there so much, and we loved how many people we touched, the lives we touched, the people we got to meet, some of them very famous, by the way, and some of them not so famous, but nonetheless very, very special. So we felt like we still wanted to do something along those lines. Maybe not be quite so involved in somebody's desperate plight to save their lives, because none of us are medical, and that would get kind of scary. And even though we would be supportive and loving and do all the things that we felt we needed to do, it would still be kind of scary. But the fact that we all understood that detox and being good to your body every now and then was imperative to your overall health, we all really got that. Shelley is here this morning. I'm going to bring her in. I don't know whether she's still at home or driving in. Good morning, my dear. How are you?
Good morning, Renee. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I love this. I love starting the day this way instead of having a very hectic day and trying to be positive and talk on the radio at night. In the morning, well, you know me, I've always been a morning person. So this is great for me. Are you already on your way into work, or are you still home?
No, I'm still home. I'll be leaving probably by the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
This is a great way for me to start, too.
I love it. I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but I think this is the way for us to go, and I think that this will be an opportunity. I know some people, even when we were on at night, would end their day with us, and I got some positive feedback, but I think starting the day sometimes is more important for all of us, what foot we walk out the door with, so to speak. Yeah, I really think it's true. But I promised everybody some exciting news. I sent out some email blasts last night, and I was on Facebook, and I didn't really explain anything. But I did just now. I don't know if you were on yet, Shelley. You came on, and then I lost you, and then you came back on again.
Right.
But I mentioned the fact that many of us who are no longer with the Institute really appreciated what we did there. And albeit towards the end, we were a little bit nervous about how many people came there in a desperate plight to save their lives, and that got a little scary. But we always realized the worth of detoxing, cleaning up your body. It's like a good spring cleaning, but you do it to your body.
Right.
And just like your house, the wear and tear takes effect, and then 3 months later, you do another real good cleaning. And every time, what we learned was every time you did it, you picked up one more good habit. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Sometimes people would just give up little things. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the whole thing is that it goes to preventative. It's so much healthier for the body, first of all, to live in a way that doesn't constantly tear it down. You know, I mean, that makes sense, you know. And it's and then you can go ahead and you can have those times when you're a little less strict or whatever, because a special event comes up. I mean, you detox to kind of get yourself, you know, back in a good shape. So it's an easier.
I'm losing you, honey.
Okay, let me hear.
Well, I think what
better?
You said, yes. I think what you said, though, is that even though you don't have to live it so strictly for your whole life, because we all live lives, and living lives means that some things, this doesn't work, and sometimes it does, and the same with everything else that we do in our lives. But I think
the bottom line is prevention is always the better way to go than trying to fix yourself after some sort of health issue has arisen. If people could start learning now and teaching their children to live in a way that doesn't break the body down, it just makes a lot more sense.
Well, and I think that that's a really, really good rule to live by. And, of course, everybody always equates their bodies to their car. If you've gone out and spent several hundred thousand dollars on a Maserati, you take real good care of it. And seldom this wonderful gift that we're given, our life and our body, we take for granted. And we don't really pay attention to what we put in it, what we take out of it, what we do for it. We just take it for granted. And that's understandable. I'm not finding any kind of fault in us, because it's what we do, and it kind of just falls into sync. I mean, I watch the young kids outside rolling around on the basketball court and jumping. And in 1 week, I had 2 sprained ankles in the backyard. And it's nothing to have, you know, skinned knees. It's nothing. My youngest son, David, loved skateboarding. And he is still, now at almost 40, suffering the consequences from those injuries from skateboarding. So, you know, it is a part of life. But it's amazing how many things out there that we can do to repair and protect all of the parts of our body. Repair and protect once you're over the age of 10 is pretty much what you're doing, because already by 10 you've had boo-boos and maybe not broken bones, but certainly sprained muscles and all of the above. So I prepared something to read to give everybody a little bit of guidelines on what it is we are going to work on in the weeks to come. And I want everybody to know to alert everybody to what's going to be. And it's also a door for those of you who are out there struggling on your own, trying to make a difference in some small way. What do we talk about on this show all the time? Unity. Unity is amazing. My family has gone through more trials, tribulations, trauma, you name it, in the last 47 years than anybody I know. We always make it through everything. Why? Because we're a family. We're a family. And you can do the same thing with the people who are not your blood. You can make a unified family. You can make a group of people who all trust each other, care about each other, and will be there for each other when they're needed. So we think if we can do something along those lines and help other people, maybe we can make a difference in some of the unkindnesses and some of the anger and some of the other things that are going on out there that we talk about every night. What would you say if I told you that I'm working on a program that would bring together many options and different ideas to make our world healthier, happier, more balanced, and by doing that, easier to share this world with all of our differences? If you are happy and balanced as well as healthy, you are ultimately kinder. It's true. Often our attitudes are affected by our feelings. If you feel crappy and mad or sad or all of the above, you're not much fun to be around. That's what sets the first domino in motion. And you, of course, think it's everyone else that's having a bad day and taking it all out on you. We are so funny, aren't we? So why isn't anyone laughing? My close friend, Michael Berganzi, and my very good friend and co-anchor, Shelley, believe we have the answer. As we all know, one thing does not work for everyone, but something works for someone. We're blessed with a group of friends and associates that all have wonderful healing gifts that they already share with many people. We have decided to unite. Maybe teach our government a thing or two. Wouldn't that be nice? We are working on putting the heart back into healing. As the days go by, we will be bringing together these people and uniting our efforts and our knowledge to bring hope to everyone who has lost it or maybe never even had it. We will have the ability to listen and hear your plight and direct you where you will receive the most benefit. One size does not fit all, will never fit all. We are building this now. It's your opportunity to get in on the ground floor and change the world as we know it. We will not change your ideas or program. You will fit who needs you. You will be completely in charge of what you offer. All we will expect is mutual respect of each other's ideas and protocol. This will be agreed on in the beginning and advertised as such. We are familiar with many healthy lifestyle choices. There are a lot of them, and Wakemore, Beyond Organic, too many to mention, that are working on some of the people some of the time. However, we need what we need. Often we need pieces of several programs. That's what unity is going to do for us. It will give everyone the opportunity to choose what fits them. Imagine the freedom and the power of this type of choice. You'll feel strong and powerful with making your own decisions that will change your life. It won't be easy, but you won't care because you will be empowered and full of respect for yourself. Too many of us that will be, for too many of us, that will be a new feeling. Take charge. You are really the only one who can, and really the only one who cares. So it's our idea to pull together some of the people we've met in the last 10 years, 12 years, and some of them are awesome. Some of them in their own right are out there doing now things for many, many people. Some of them on a real light level. Some of them are just doing special healthy dinners a couple times a week. Some of them are massage therapists that love and care so much about people that when you get off their table, you feel not just better with aches and pains and the therapy that they've done for you, you feel refreshed and rejuvenated. Why? Because they've given you some of their positive energy. There's people out there now that are doing things that are so out there, scientifically speaking and energetically speaking, that they can change your whole life as long as you walk in with the right attitude and put yourself in a place that can be healed and can be made happy again. Remember I said the other night, it's the man in the mirror. It's always, always, always the man in the mirror. So when you get up this morning and you set about your day, I want you to think about what you could do to put yourself in a better place. What would make you feel better? Maybe it's because you're tired of getting up every day and your back hurts. There's probably something wrong with your back. Maybe it has something to do with the way you're sleeping. Maybe it's the fact that you don't relax before you go to bed. Maybe you drink too much caffeine before you go to bed. And your body, by the time it's ready to really shut down and relax, it's time to get up again. Maybe last night, and everybody does this, maybe last night after you ate a great big dinner with a steak dinner. A lot of you out there are steak lovers, beef lovers. Maybe something in that beef that you just bought over at BJ's or Costco's or something has a steroid or something in it that doesn't sit good with your body. Maybe you need to give up meat for a little while and see if you don't feel better. Maybe it won't make a difference. Maybe you are good with meat. Maybe instead last night you had a banana split after dinner. And the sugar did you in for the rest of the night, and today you wake up feeling like you have the worst hangover God ever gave you. The deal is to smarten up and to listen to your body and do the things you know are right. Every now and then, everybody's going to say, I don't care how I'm going to feel later, I'm going to have this banana split. Or, I don't care how I'm going to feel later, I'm going to play ball with the kids today. I get it. I'm the same way. We're all the same way. But the point is if you have a place to go where there are all kinds of choices as to what is going to work for you, imagine you'd be unstoppable. You would be so full of love and life and happiness that you probably wouldn't know what to do anymore with all of your energy. It's astounding how much energy you can conjure up when you're in a good place. When you're in a bad place, it's easy to sit in the recliner and watch the boob tube all day. I know, I've done it, been there. I think we probably all have. But if you feel good about yourself, about your energy, about the fact that you can maybe make some changes in your world and the world that affects all the people you love, what an awesome way to live. And all of that is possible. Hands down, it is possible. You can open up doors when you're in a good place. You can open up doors you've never even seen before. So I want Shelley to talk a little bit about, so that you all understand this. She's touched on this a couple different times, but changing her lifestyle. Shelley was in a really, really bad place when she was quite young. Now nobody believes she's as old as she is. So I want her to share a little bit about how she made those changes. And some of her changes might be too radical for you. I get that. But you still need to hear the difference in who Shelley was, what's it been now, Shelley, 15 years ago? Close to that?
Yeah, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And now. And she'll just tell them where you were and the changes you had to make. And again, some of her changes might be too radical for you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to show you the different options that are available. So go ahead, Shel, and tell everybody.
All right. Well, I was actually catastrophically ill for about 30 years. And the reason I describe it that way is because I was always sick and I was always in pain. I had a condition called myocarditis, which was an infection inside my heart muscle when I was 6 years old, and I almost lost my life from that. I was in an outpatient clinic for 6 months. I was kept in a dark room. I wasn't allowed watching TV or playing with my friends because my heart was so enlarged that any excitement, either being sad or happy, like laughing at a cartoon, could actually make me have a fatal heart attack. So I was actually not allowed to do anything for those 6 months. So my highlight was when I would go to the heart clinic twice a week for treatment and monitoring and things like that. But what happened is because they megadosed me on antibiotics, substantially damage the immune system. And basically what happened after that 6 months is I had no immune system. It completely eradicated it. So for the next 30 years, I just got everything. I constantly had tonsillitis, bronchitis, pneumonia. I got measles, mumps, chicken pox. I mean, you name it, I got it. And as I got older, I started getting what are called chronic illnesses, chronic viruses. I got viral syndromes. I had chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. I got irritable bowel syndrome. I got systemic candida. And I kept developing more conditions on top of each other because my body lacked the ability to repair. And by the time I hit my late 30s, I had all these other conditions, and then I contracted Lyme's disease. And the Lyme's disease was the fourth time that I came very, very close to death. I had actually come close to death three other episodes. But the Lyme's disease, on top of everything else, just really damaged my body because it started attacking my joints. And my left knee blew out. My left shoulder locked. I had 8 bone spurs in my left shoulder. I wasn't able to use my left arm for 2.5 years. And I wasn't able to walk without a cane for 5 years. As a matter of fact, if you remember, Reedy, when you first met me, I was still walking with a cane.
Yes, I know.
When I first started at Hippocrates. But at that point, even though I was still using a cane, I had regained remarkable vitality. Because in my late 30s, the doctors told me that they said my conditions, my illnesses, my diseases, or the diseases I had, you should never phrase them as mine, the diseases that I had at that time were irreversible, incurable, and degenerative. Those are the 3 words they used. And they said there wasn't really anything they could do for me other than making me comfortable. So they were offering me painkillers and tranquilizers.
Wow.
And,
Like you were an old horse.
Right. And basically, I was being told that I may not make it to 40. Now, this is 37 years old. So that actually made me angry. The one thing I always had was a very active mind. I always worked full-time jobs. I never went out on disability, although a lot of people with less than I had did go out on disability. The doctors offered it to me. I never took it because I figured, well, what's the difference of sitting home and feeling like this or at least having some sort of a productive life? So I never gave into that. I never stayed home. And that was my personal choice. And I think that attitude is probably what kept me from succumbing because it was like I was fighting. I was fighting to make things better, at least with my mental attitude. I wasn't doing the right things because I was taking pharmaceuticals, and I had a couple of surgeries that were failures and things like that. So I started reading books, self-help books, books on how to regain health despite the medical establishment, and that's what the title was, one of them was, you know. And I started learning that to work with the immune system through diet and lifestyle actually heals the body completely because there's no side effects. And that one of the issues with Western medicine, and there's definitely a place for Western medicine, all right, but not when you're talking about just normal day-to-day things that come up. Our body's supposed to repair on a daily basis. And this is one of the things I found out in my research. And that you can prevent a lot of diseases or heal them without medical or pharmaceuticals. But again, there is a place for that, and there are times when you do need Western medical intervention. So I started reading these books, and it took me a couple of years of reading them. I started making some changes right off the bat. I stopped taking all my prescription meds, and ironically, within a few months of just stopping taking my prescriptions, I started feeling better, which was not what I expected, but I just started cleaning my body, started drinking water instead of soda. Which in the beginning for me was hard because I didn't like the lack of flavor. And now I haven't had soda in 15 years. I just drink water or tea or sometimes coffee, but for the most part I drink water all day long, room temperature. And I actually don't like the taste of sodas and sweet things anymore. Sometimes I'll have some iced tea or something. But getting off the soda and getting off the pharmaceuticals in the beginning made a huge difference. But I was still having some issues. I still couldn't use my left arm, and my left leg was still pretty crippled. I still couldn't walk normally. But so I kept reading, and the one thing I hadn't done yet was gone vegetarian, and then I went even deeper after that. Well, once I went vegetarian, about 70% of my day-to-day symptoms that I had been living with for decades, remember, this started when I was 6 years old, were just gone. They alleviated just by becoming vegetarian. I hadn't even gone really strict yet. I just took meat out of my diet. I wasn't eating a good vegetarian diet because I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning, and eating kind of a lousy fast food kind of vegetarian diet, just taking the meat out, all of a sudden started giving me great benefits. I started noticing that some of the muscle spasms, the issues that I was having with that time of the month for women, which was horrendous for me. I would just go through so much pain. All this started lightening. I noticed that some of the pain issues and the fatigue was going away, and I was starting to feel more energetic. So I decided to take it a step further, and I became what's called vegan. And vegan means you have no animal products. Vegetarian means you just don't eat animal flesh, like chicken or steak or fish. You don't eat anything that's the flesh of an animal. Vegan means you don't need any animal products at all, including dairy products, eggs, things like that. So I became vegan for a couple of years. And this is all before I met you at Hippocrates. This is around 1998 that this happened for me. So I went from being vegetarian to being vegan, and then I went even a step further because I found some of these, I started going to seminars out in Oregon about raw foodism and things like that, so I actually became a raw foodist. This is what you were talking about, that, you know, some people might think that's too extreme, but this was an evolution for me. At first I got comfortable with being vegetarian, then, and I did that for about 8 months, then I went to being a vegan for about 6 months. During being a vegan, my left shoulder completely healed. It wasn't frozen anymore. For the first time in 2.5 years, I was able to actually start using my arm again. And then after 6 months of being a vegan and seeing that kind of results with my left arm, I decided to take it a step further because I was still crippled with my left leg. I still had a couple of minor issues, but I was about 80% healed from all these chronic issues. I had full use of my arm again. So I went raw foodist, and it was shortly after becoming a raw foodist that I found and started working at Hippocrates, and the staff has provided that wonderful raw food buffet every day. So I was really able to maintain that for about 4 years, eating predominantly raw foodist. And while I was at Hippocrates, within a year of starting at Hippocrates, my leg healed so completely that I was able to stop using a cane. I remember all of a sudden I would always take the cane with me, but I walked to one side of the campus, which was a big 35-acre campus ground, so we're talking a bit of distance, and I hadn't taken my cane, and I had no issues walking there, and then all of a sudden I went to grab my cane, realized I hadn't brought it, and that's when I realized that my leg had healed enough that I didn't even need a cane anymore. And then I only used it if I aggravated my knee. It took about another year to heal to the point where I didn't re-aggravate it. And now I haven't used a cane in years. I go up and down stairs. I lift everything, heavy things. I dance, you know. And I have no issues with that anymore. So that's pretty cool if we think about it. You know, after so many years. And I was told by an orthopedic surgeon that without surgery on my knee and without surgery on my left arm, that I would never get use out of either limb. And that's not what happened with me. Although it took years to recondition my body, the proper diet, using castor oil packs, which is something that's very nutritive to joints, which is something you learn about when you start studying, holistic and homeopathic things. Castor oil is a great healer. You can put it on joints. You wrap plastic around it to hold it in. You know, for like 20 minutes, you do that a couple times a day. And if you have joint issues, this is a way to really, really nourish the joint and start allowing some healing to go on. And that's what I did. So I was very proactive, both with my diet and some external things, and I got full use of both my limbs again. But the most remarkable thing for me was the vitality, the energy, and the the lack of pain, because being in pain for so many years, I didn't know how to live without pain. It was just, when the pain was gone, I actually noticed it, because it became something I wasn't even aware of anymore. It's just I was always in pain. So when the pain started ebbing, I would notice that, like somebody who's not in pain all the time would notice all of a sudden having pain. With me, it was the reverse. I would all of a sudden say, oh, my God, I have no sensation in my body. And what it was is I had no pain. You know, but that was like a new experience for me after 30 years. And now it's the opposite. You know, now every now and then I overexert or I do something and I have pain from doing something, but not just pain from my body being inflamed and things like that. And that's what I lived with for all those decades, was internal inflammation from all the different illnesses I have. And so it was a remarkable thing for me. But no, people don't necessarily have to go as strict as I did. If they were as messed up as I was, because I really had a lot of issues, then they have to consider for at least a short amount of time becoming stricter with their lifestyle if they want to achieve quicker and deeper results. I'm no longer a raw foodist, although I do eat raw food from time to time. If I'm having a really, if I'm not feeling good for a couple of days, I'll kind of go more intensely back to that type of diet, and then it kind of brings me back again. I'm a vegetarian. I never went back to eating meat. I have not had anything meat-related now since 1998. I'm vegan at my home, but I'm vegetarian when I go out. And by that I mean, like, I'll go out and I'll have a slice of pizza with my friends from time to time, but in my home I don't bring any dairy products in. I'm pretty much vegan at my home. And this lifestyle works for me. It's maintained my vitality for 15 years. When I just met someone this weekend when I was in Los Angeles, and when I told them I was 55, the two women I were talking to were shocked. They were like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. And I said, no, because I really don't look 55. I don't feel 55. And if I'm standing there talking to you, because of my level of energy, people just, they don't go there. They don't think that I would be 55. So it's been a real journey for me. It's been one that I'm excited about. I'm putting together a book, which is a very similar idea to what we're trying to do with this center, in that it's going to be offering a lot of different modalities, because there is no such thing as one size fits all, and I absolutely agree with you on that. What I did worked for me. It can work for a lot of people, but there's also a lot of other things I could have done that were holistic that I didn't even know about back then that I've learned about since. So there's many, many modalities, many types of energy work, other types of food choices that I didn't know about then. I still feel that vegetarianism is the way to go, but I know it's very difficult for some people. And then you were talking about Beyond Organics. There's now organic meats that can at least get rid of the steroids and the growth hormones and the antibiotics that are pumped into factory farmed animals, which doesn't cook out of the meat and literally poison our bodies. And that's where a lot of our health issues come from. The people that eat non-organic meats, that eat regular factory farm meats, are literally poisoning themselves every time they sit down to a meal, and they don't realize it because nobody's educated with regard to that unless they get into a health arena. So, you know, like I said, vegetarian works for me. But if that's too far of a jump for you, then at least look to getting meats that are not full of chemicals, because they're not nutritive, and they tear down the immune system of the body and prevent the body's ability to heal itself.
Well, let me say this on that note, and that is the fact that, again, as you just said, and I said in the article that I wrote, that we're not all the same. And
right.
Some people can eat garbage. I mean, literally. Some people can live on whatever they want to live on, and they have amazing immune systems. They have great constitutions. And no matter how suicidal they become with their habits, they still stay pretty healthy. That's a fact of life. But then there are some of us who, with one lousy choice, can change everything. And
mm-hmm.
And there are some of us with one good choice can change everything. So the point
right.
is if you're suffering and you've been to a doctor and he's put you on something pharmaceutical. If any of you ever watch television, everything that's out there, the one that cracks me up the most, of course, is erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those commercials, if my grandmother would have, I mean, she would probably faint dead away if she saw on national television that they talk about erectile dysfunction. Of course, I'm not sure she would have known what erectile dysfunction was. But she would have gone, what are they talking about? Oh, my Lord, I can just hear her. But if you listen to the whole commercial, by the way, we'll give you something to work with, if you know what I mean, ha, ha, ha. But you're probably going to lose your hair. Your eyesight's going to be worse. You might lose the feelings in the ends of your toes and the ends of your fingers. And I'm like, oh, my good God. The disclaimers that they give for all of these supposed cutting-edge
mm-hmm.
pharmaceuticals that are synthesized and rearranged and molecularly, I can't even say that word, molecularly rearranged to be something that's supposed to help a specific thing are poison. They're
right.
poison. You know, we thought years ago that we were going to kill roaches and palmetto bugs and things like that, and rats. So our scientists came up with DDT and all these horrible poisons. And if you're going to spray your house, you've got to, you know, move everything, even your canned goods, because it can, you know, it can go through the can. It can, and then eventually, you know, your child is sitting there going blah, 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 because you fed him a can of tuna fish that everything got into the tuna fish. And you had all this to go through, and what happened to the palmetto bugs and the cockroaches and even the rats? They mutated.
They mutated.
Yes. Now there are these giant things that, ha-ha, you can't touch me with any kind of crap you want to give me. Let's face it, people, I eat garbage, so give me anything you want, and I just get bigger and better. So
the truth
of the matter is, you know, when they give, our bodies are not the same. We are not programmed. We were programmed, if you believe in how we got here, I don't care how you believe how we got here. I don't care whether you believe that we evolved from, you know, Bigfoot or we came from the Garden of Eden. I don't care. But we were supposed to be eating everything that grew out of the ground. We are supposed to be eating the vegetables. We are supposed to be drinking the fresh spring water. We are supposed to be eating the fruit that filled the trees so that they fell on the ground and rotted if you didn't eat it. That's what we were supposed to be doing. And instead, we got involved with all of our smarts and genetically improved all these things. I'm in the store the other day, and I'm like, Fuji apples in a jar with a pound of sugar and water. I don't. The water probably came from somebody's garden hose, for all I know. I don't know where the water came from, and the pound of sugar, and these slices of Fuji apples. I opened them. They aren't Fuji apples anymore. They taste kind of crunchy, and they're very, very sweet. Taste nothing like a Fuji apple. But I looked at myself, and I thought, you know, the kids will love that. And they do love that. But again, look at anything that's prepackaged, and look at all the different things. Remember when they first came out with MSG, and everybody started having these horrible side effects from MSG.
Yep.
I mean, horrible side effects, and nobody quite understood why. Right? It was poisoning everybody.
Right.
So the deal here is not to be radical, unless you want to be. That's certainly your prerogative. You can give up eating anything but sprouts. I know people who live on sunflower sprouts and pea sprouts. That's all they eat. They juice it and they eat it. They throw in a cucumber and some celery every now and then for their juice, and that's how they live. And why? Because they're one of those people who eat to live. They don't live to eat. Mm-hmm. Food
right.
is irrelevant to them, and they're happy doing it that way. Good
mm-hmm.
for you, you know. But the point is you have to do things that's going to serve you and
right.
and give you some nutrition. Otherwise, what's the sense? If all you're doing is taking in different things to answer other needs, maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to take baby steps into figuring out exactly who you are and what you need. I don't know. Some days I don't know what the hell I need. Some days I think to myself, I am more confused than anybody else I know, and I'm almost 65 years old. However, you do have to think about it. You do have to think about, well, am I confused or am I not confused? Do I know what I need? Of course I do. If I dig deep enough, I know exactly what I need. I should never
mm-hmm.
touch sugar. And I'd like to tell you all that I don't, but that would be a big fat lie, a fat lie that matches my fat butt. So I don't do that. Should I do that? Absolutely. I know I have better energy when I stay away from starch and sugar. Years ago, I went on the Atkins diet, and I ate enough beef that I could have had my own ranch. And what ended up with me is I developed severe diverticulitis. I had H. pylori, which is a bacteria that settles in your esophagus and can turn to cancer. I became a vegetarian 8 years ago, and I still don't eat any red meat, no chicken, no pork, none of those things. Recently, I added in salmon because I don't take in enough protein in my greens because I don't work someplace anymore where it's provided for me, number one. And number two, I eat a lot of spinach. I eat a lot of green beans, but it wasn't enough, I felt. But I still struggle with sugar. Sugar for me is like the demon rum. So it's an issue for me, as it is for many other people that I meet and that I know very well. Sometimes it's other things. Sometimes it's not having enough respect for yourself to even be good to yourself in other ways, like walking. I swim every morning. Why do I swim? Well, for one thing, I enjoy it. It's good for me. But when I'm in the pool all by myself, I do a little bit of meditation. It starts my day in a better way. It puts me in a better place. And let's face it, if you get up in the morning, you can land on the right side or the wrong side of the bed. Everybody knows that. And the first step you take can send you on the right path or the wrong path, right? All simple.
Sure.
But consciously being aware of the fact that you want to be in a better place all the time will be good for you. It won't make you perfect. As we said before, Shelley and I put that out there all the time. If somebody meets somebody perfect, please bring them over so we can meet them, because we have yet to find that person. However, people who are wise and make good choices are very, very happy people. And why are they happy? Because first of all, you develop pride over making the right choices. You develop more self-esteem because you know you've taken charge of your own life. And you feel better. Plain and simple, you feel better because you're not putting anything in your body that your body is having an adverse effect to. So all of this is about choices, your attitude, and talking about your feelings. You know, one of the things we learned at Hippocrates, and I know Shelley can second, third, and fourth this, is 1 year we had a comedian at Hippocrates. And upon graduation, he came up to the front of the room, and every Friday the new guest would graduate, especially if they stayed 3 weeks. They had really invested some time and some energy and some effort, and it was very unusual to not have somebody be in a much better place after 3 weeks. So they'd stand up there, and this guy comes up. Matter of fact, I just saw him on a Law and Order the other night, so he's still in the acting arena. And he walks up front, and he takes an enema bag and sticks the enema bag tube in his ear. And we all started laughing, and he said, I want everybody to know that I got just as much shit out of this part of my body as I did the other part. And we all cracked up, because it's true. It's very, very true that when you clean up, you get rid of old baggage that's stuck in your head, as well as old feces that's stuck in your belly. And it makes a big difference as to who you are, who you are capable of becoming. So the whole idea here is it's so true, right, Shelley? I mean, didn't we witness that more often?
But the whole thing is, everybody there that day, like you said, cracked up because everybody identified with what he was saying. Nobody created that particular visual other than him, you know, being the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody completely identified with where he was coming from, and that was where the humor came from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because everybody got it. And and again, you know, talking, you know, when you get the garbage out of your head, you can't flush it down the toilet. It works a little bit differently. When you get the garbage out of your head, you have to kind of look at it and analyze it. We don't want you to do with that with the other stuff. But with the stuff that comes out of your head, we want you to think about it and decipher it and get rid of the stuff that isn't serving you. And maybe some of it just needs to be analyzed to see if it is of benefit to you. Old lessons, old pain, old stuff that maybe a word. We've talked about this on the show too, talking to a kid. You know, if you constantly are saying to a kid, what are you, stupid or something? Your kid's going to think they're stupid, and they never get rid of that. You get that? That never, ever leaves them.
That's right.
So some of that is still in our heads as grown-ups. Some of that is still there that we need to pull out and say, you know what, I don't need you anymore. I'm not stupid. And see ya. Many psychologists and energy healers and things that I have worked with in the past believe very strongly in writing things on a piece of paper that really hurt you. Putting them on a piece of paper, some of them tell you to take it and bury it in the backyard. Some of them tell you to put it into a little urn and set it on fire. Make a choice there and do one or the other, because I'm telling you, sometimes if you can visually destroy a feeling, it goes away.
Yep.
You know, it really, I'm not sure how that works. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I just know that it does. And I think in some cases, we all need to do that with a few things. But the whole point is if we unite, if Shelley and Michael and I and a few other people work on gathering some of these people together so that we can have all of these choices in one place, and those of us who have been doing this for a long time can help guide you. Once you empty, the most important thing is what you put back in. Once you take everything away, then you have to reinforce yourself with good stuff. And that goes for everything from food, which is nutrition, to lifestyle, to who you talk to and who you let talk to you. All of this goes together with keeping you in a better place. And it's easy to do. It sounds like it's a big, big unsurmountable mountain to climb. It's not, because the only one you really have to worry about is you. You don't have to worry about everybody else that's climbing the mountain, or how they feel about what you're doing, or how you feel about what they're doing. Pull yourself in and just care about what's happening to you. The other stuff will come. Once you get yourself to such a good place, you actually rub off on other people. They enjoy being in your company. Do you ever spend time with somebody who's, like, so funny that, you know, you just like to be with them because they're a riot? You know, almost everything they say is a quip of some kind, and they make you laugh all the time. You prefer to be with them than Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, right? You don't want to be with somebody who's like, oh, bother. Oh, I don't know why I got up today. Oh, I hate this. You're like, geez, why don't you just pour a big sludge of mud on my head and we'll just have the day be over with.
And another thing is that when people act like that, and in some cases they're actually trying to elicit sympathy or attention from people, but what they don't understand is that that is such a low energy that you end up sucking the life out of everybody around you. So when you understand that, if you need to get assistance, if you need help because you're just not feeling in a good place, the best thing is to keep yourself in a place that's not so energetically down so that people can help you without getting drained. You know what I'm saying? This is something that some people have mastered and some people don't. But if you can, if you have an issue and you need to discuss it with someone, try to minimize it or mitigate it some way, you know, make it not as big as it is. And in that effort of being kind to somebody else, you're going to find that you're going to start making adjustments anyway, and then it'll be easier for people to want to be around you and want to get you in a better place, you know. But people who are going through that, they don't realize that the deeper they sink into it in an effort to elicit some sort of attention or sympathy from others are actually making it almost impossible for anybody to provide that for them.
Well, it's a shame that and we're all guilty of that. I think we all do that at some point in time, and of course it is forgivable. And what's that old saying? To err is human, to forgive is divine. And those are pretty nice words to live by, everybody. So when we say that we don't, you know, that when we meet somebody like that who's just full of pessimism and I don't know, sadness, if you can visualize sadness, pessimism, negativity, like coming around you, like a big sheath of fog, right? And pretty soon you're like enclosed in this, and what happens? You can't get out, and nobody else can get in.
Right.
And that's a bad place to be. That's a bad place to be.
Can I read something, Reen?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So this is from one of the modalities that that I'm actually researching right now. I'm actually it's used both for humans and for animals, and I was lucky enough to find a holistic vet who practices what's called NAET. It's a particular type of allergy treatment. And allergies are more invasive than I think people realize they are. People understand anaphylaxis, which is an allergy which can be fatal because it makes the esophagus
swell. That's like
swell
if you're allergic to a bee sting or a snake bite or all those kind of things.
Or peanuts.
Everything's
fine. Peanuts is a very
peanut,
common,
yeah,
right?
That's true, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. But allergies cause all kinds of inflammatory and digestive disorders, inflammatory disorders and digestive disorders in the body that then lead to other illnesses. Oh, and by the way, I started with allergies. That was the first set of illnesses that I started with in my teens, and all these other conditions spun off of the allergies. So the allergies is what originally broke my system down and then opened the door for all this other stuff that happened to me. But in this NAET book that I'm reading right now, because we talk about everything being connected to our emotions, I think a lot of times because doctors aren't taught this, they don't realize it, but I would say probably in the high 95% of illnesses have emotional basis for them, whether it be stress or some trauma or something like that. So in here it's talking about emotional allergies, and it says many times the origin of physical symptoms could be traced back to some unresolved emotional trauma. A woman in her 50s complained of hypoglycemia since childhood. She was found to be very allergic to sugar. When she was treated for sugar with NAET, she cleared her physical and chemical allergy, but her emotional allergy remained the same, and her hypoglycemic reaction was exaggerated. She recalled that she was restricted from eating sugar. When she was 5 years old, her parents told her sugar was bad for her health. One day, a family member gave her a box full of chocolates. As soon as the friend left the home, her mother snatched the box from her and flushed the chocolates down the toilet before she had a chance to even eat one. The child felt very bad and cried for a long time. Her mother did not take the time to explain the reason for her insensitive behavior. This puzzled the child and left her an unhealed wound in her heart and brain. Ever since that event, for 48 years, with each contact of sugar or sugar products, she experienced unpleasant physical reactions, misdiagnosed as hypoglycemia. When she was treated for this emotional blockage with NAET, she no longer suffered from hypoglycemia. A young man of 32 tested allergic to almost all foods. After treating for the basics, he still got sick and complained of nausea after every meal. He tried to eat just a few items, which he had been absolutely cleared for by NAET and confirmed by NST, which is some sort of a skin treatment. And even though he tested negative, he was showing positive emotional blockages and found he was afraid to eat any food that was tied to his childhood. As he was growing up, his abusive maniac father abused his mother verbally and physically and often beat her or threw dishes at her while they were eating. Watching all these horrible incidents frightened young Jim, who often lost his appetite and went without eating. These unfortunate incidents left deep wounds in his mind in association with food. When he was treated for his childhood fears, he was able to eat food without getting sick anymore. And then the last comment was, suppose two men were fighting while eating popcorn. One got upset and walked out of the room. The second person was very angry. Without paying attention, he kept eating popcorn while thinking of a way to solve his problem or to get back at the other person. In fact, at a later time, he may not even remember that he had ate the popcorn at all. While he was eating popcorn, his brain was stimulated with anger and resentment. This was forgotten, however, but the brain was aware of eating the popcorn, and it was forced to associate this with anger and resentment. The brain is always watching over our welfare, and this is interesting because there's a lot of new brain research that our brain is like a computer, and it makes associations that our mind needs to be able to rationalize and get rid of. But the brain is just a computer, so sometimes it makes wrong associations, and that's where our getting help and talking things out can sometimes surface where our brain made associations that really, you know, had nothing to do with each other. So it says the brain is always watching over our welfare, makes a note of this association. In the future contact with popcorn, the brain will caution him about the previous episode of anger and resentment while he's eating the popcorn, which can mimic an allergic reaction. Isn't that interesting?
It's amazing. Well, and you know, we've talked about even a baby in mom's arms getting yelled at, and the tenseness in mom's arms and everything. There, a baby's brain picks up on that discomfort and will start crying, even though they don't understand the words. They maybe don't even know what's going on. I mean, don't even hear the yelling, or there is no yelling, but there's something that's tense. And just the feeling in mom alerts them to the fact that something's wrong, and they start crying. We're out of time, but I want, I think this is great. I love starting the day this way. I feel, focused on a lot of different things today, and I hope we generated some interest in this new program that we're trying to put together, And if any of you are out there and listening and have something to add to it, please email me at reenie.brewer91@gmail.com and let me know if you have something that you'd like to offer or be a part of this in some way. And the rest of you go out there today and make this the best day that you've had in a long time. Smile at people. Let them smile back at you and have the kind of day that you want to have every day. So from my heart to yours, everybody, have a great one. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye, Shell. Talk to you later on, honey.
Okay, hon.
Bye, Reen. Bye, everyone.